dwarf. "You're on," she said. "I thought we could have a little private dinner, just you and me," said Casanunda, "in one of the taverns." Never in a long history of romance had Nanny Ogg ever been taken out for an intimate dinner. Her courtships had been more noted for their quantity than their quality. "Okay," was all she could think of to say.
"Dodge your chaperone and meet me at 6 o'clock.
Nanny Ogg glanced at Granny Weatherwax, who was watching them disapprovingly from a distance.
"She's not my..." she began.
Then it dawned on her that Casanunda couldn't possibly have really thought that Granny Weatherwax was chaperoning her. Compliments and flattery had also been very minor components in the machinery of Nanny Ogg's courtships.
"Yes, all right," she said.
"And now I shall circulate so that people don't talk and ruin your reputation," said Casanunda, bowing and kissing Nanny Ogg's hand.
Her mouth dropped open. No one had ever kissed her hand before either, and certainly no one had ever worried about her reputation, least of all Nanny Ogg. As the world's second greatest lover bustled off to accost a countess, Granny Weatherwax, who had been watching from a discreet distance, i.e. far enough so as not to look like you're intruding on the conversation, but close enough to get a pretty good idea of what is going on, said in an amiable voice,
"You haven't got the morals of a cat, Githa Ogg."
"Now, Esme, you know that's not true."
"All right, you have got the morals of a cat, then."
"That's better."
Nanny Ogg patted her mass of white curls and wondered if she had time to go home and put her corsets on.
"We must stay on our guard, Githa."
"Yes, yes."
"Can't let other considerations turn our heads."
"No, no."
"You're not listening to a word I say, are you?"
"What?"
"You could at least find out why Magrat isn't down here."
"Oh, all right."
Nanny Ogg wandered off dreamily. Granny Weatherwax turned, and there should have been violins. The murmur of the crowd should have faded away, and the crowd itself should have parted in a quite natural movement to leave an empty path between her and Ridcully. There should have been violins. Well, there should have been something. There shouldn't have been the librarian accidentally knuckling her on the toe on his way to the buffet, but this, in fact, there was. She hardly noticed.
"Esme?" said Ridcully.
"Mastrum?" said Granny Weatherwax.
Nanny Ogg bustled up.
"Esme, I saw Millie Chillum, and she said..."
Granny Weatherwax's vicious elbow jab winded her. Nanny took in the scene.
"Oh," she said, I'll just go away then."
The gazes locked again. The librarian knuckled past again with an entire display of fruit. Granny Weatherwax paid him no heed. The bursar, who was currently on the median point of his cycle, tapped Ridcully on the shoulder.
"I say, Arch-Chancellor, these quail's eggs are amazingly good."
"Drop dead. Mr. Stibbons, fish out the frog pills and keep knives away from him, please." The gazes locked again.
"Well, well," said Granny, after a year or so.
"This must be some enchanted evening," said Ridcully.
"Yes, that's what I'm afraid of."
"That really is you, isn't it?"
"It's really me," said Granny.
"You haven't changed a bit, Esme."
"Nor have you, then. You're still a rotten liar, Mastrum Ridcully."
They walked towards one another. The librarian shuttled between them with a tray of meringues. Behind them, Ponder Stibbons grovelled on the floor for a spilled bottle of dried frog pills.
"Well, well," said Ridcully.
"Fancy that.
Small world."
"Yes, indeed.
You're you, and I'm me. Amazing. And it's here, and now."
"Yes, but then was then."
"I sent you a lot of letters," said Ridcully.
"Never got 'em."
There was a glint in Ridcully's eye.
"That's odd. And there was me putting all those destination spells on 'em too," he said.
He gave her a critical up-and-down glance.
"How much do weigh, Esme? Not a spare ounce on you, I'll be bound." "What do you want to know for?"
"Indulge an old man."
9 stones, then."
Should be about right. 3 miles hubwards.
You'll feel a slight lurch to the left. Nothing to worry about." In a lightning movement, he grabbed her hand. He felt young and light-headed. The wizards back at the university would have been astonished.
"Let me